Well, I was laying it back in when I was on the Water Project Authority when Bob Edmondson stood me up against the wall and said, if you want to leave your mark in history, he says, you build that California Water Project. You got to remember, when we're talking about the California Water Project, we're talking about the Feather River Dam, we're talking about the San Luis Reservoir, we're talking about pumping the water over the Tehachapi. That was all in the Bob Edmondson's water plan.
Here's the Central Valley Project today. Over 20 dams and reservoirs to store 14 million acre-feet of water. 4.6 trillion gallons for farm, home, and industry.
Driving north on the I-5 through Kern County, you pass through a series of hidden kingdoms. Kingdoms that you've never heard of. They have no exit signs telling you where to get off. You don't notice any change in the terrain. But you pass through a series of water districts and water agencies that were created over 100 years ago by the region's largest landowners in order to use a quasi-public structure to get state funds and to levy taxes, in order to get the public to pay to bring them the water that they needed to make their land valuable.
So the question was, we get $500 million and build the Feather River Dam and build a project down to maybe get it started. And then you'd have to complete it. I remember someone telling me about how Huey Long operated in Louisiana, where the legislature wouldn't give him the money to build a road. So he built the road, started at one end, built it here and stopped there, and then he started from the other end and left a big gap. And then the legislature had to change it. So people told me about that, I can remember. They said, why don't you do that? I mean, build here and build here, and then they'll have to complete it. But Norrie convinced me that if we were going to pass a bond issue at all, if we were going to satisfy him, we had to take care of every part of the state. And the $1,750,000,000 plus tideland oil revenues, which we, I can remember arguing, we'll take one great natural resource oil and we'll create another great natural resource water, which was a good argument. You got to remember, I was absolutely determined that I was going to pass this California water project. I wanted this to be a monument to me.
I see.
So, I mean, it was good for the state, but I felt from a political standpoint, I mean, from my own political standpoint, you want to accomplish things. Like, if you're a lawyer, you want to win lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And I wanted this project. And I had to just be the water master of the state in building the California Water Project.
Nearly 1,500 miles of canals, conduits, and tunnels. More than 300 pumping plants to carry water to the valley. Parallel to the CVP system is the California State Water Project, carrying its own water through the San Joaquin Valley and to Southern California. The CVP serves more than 300 water districts, cities, and power agencies. Water and power sales pay all of the annual operating, maintenance, and replacement costs of the project. Project users will also repay 85% of the capital construction cost. The other 15% is credited to flood control and other benefits to the general public.
The particular irony here is that the structure of these agencies is such that only landowners can vote on what they do. Only the landowners within the district or the agency get to decide where a canal gets built, where it delivers the water, how much water goes there. So the communities, especially the small rural communities, mainly populated by the farm workers, have no say. They don't even attend the meetings. They probably don't even know that the meetings are going on. This is why, over the course of the past 100 years, most of the benefits of the multi-billion dollar investments in water projects and the canals and the pumps to move water from the rivers in the Sierras into the dry valley, the benefits of these projects have all gone to the largest landowners in the region and have actually contributed to creating a greater divide between the wealth of the landowners and the small communities that provide the labor to make all of the agriculture in the region possible.
And some of my advisors came to me and said, now, Pat, or Governor, don't bring water to the people, let the people go to the water. Mm-hmm. That's a desert down there. Ecologically, it can't sustain the number of people that'll come if you bring the water project in there. And I weighed this very, very thoughtfully before I started going all out for the water project. Some of my advisors said to me, and I can't remember who they were now, they said, yeah, but people are going to come to Southern California anyway. And somebody said, well, send them up to Northern California. Well, I was a Northern Californian. I knew I wouldn't be governor forever. I didn't think I'd ever come down to Southern California. And I said to myself, I don't want all those people to go to Northern California.
The farmworking communities, most of which were pushed away from the larger settlements in the early part of the century as farm labor camps, have developed in a very precarious situation where they're cut off from the main water projects. They're cut off from the governance of these water projects through the water agencies in the districts, and they're cut off from the water itself. So a lot of these small communities that you drive through have to dig very deep wells and then contend with arsenic, which is naturally occurring in the water, and high concentrations of nitrates, which come from the industrial agriculture. They're more intense with row crops, and even more so with the massive dairy operations that have been the trend in the past 10 years. Agriculture in California initially started with a rather vicious, segregated system of farm labor. Different immigrant populations were brought in as laborers, and then when they began to establish roots, build their own communities, acquire ownership of land, then they were usually scapegoated and driven out. This happened with the Chinese population, with the Japanese, and has been happening for almost the past 80 years with Latin American immigrants who have provided the vast majority of farm labor in the Central Valley. So now, both the migrant farm workers who live and work in the area, as well as the established rural communities, have all been completely cut out of the benefits of water movement in the valley. So where the aqueducts deliver their water, through which properties they flow, where the split-off canals have been built and where they lead to, is all to the largest tracts of land and to the industrial agricultural operations. You don't see the California aqueduct lining up to a water purification and treatment facility to then deliver potable water to a farm working community. Doesn't happen.
You want to remember, my theory always was that the law of water is the law of water shortage.
Yes.
And there was plenty of water in the West. Mm-hmm. It's like oil today. I mean, if you have to have oil, you got to pay for it. What's the value of oil? What's the value of water? You're crossing the desert and you haven't got a bottle of water, and there's no water any place in sight, and someone comes along and said, I'll sell you two spoonfuls of water for $10, you pay for it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing's true in California.